Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to the Q3 FY23 results conference call of Avro India Limited, hosted by Kirin Advisors Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Supriya Madde from Kirin Advisors Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. I welcome you all on behalf of Kirin Advisors, the conference call of Avro India, to discuss the performance for Q3 and nine months. From the management, we have Mr. Sushil Kumar Agarwal, Chairman of the company. For opening remarks, I'm handing over the call to Mr. Sushil Kumar Agarwal. Take it forward, sir. Over to you.
Thank you, Supriya, and very good afternoon to you all, ladies and gentlemen. It's such a pleasure again connecting, and, you know, I hope that we keep connecting like this every quarter. And I hope everybody is in the pink of their health. So I welcome you all to the third quarter FY23 conference call. Avro India Limited is one of the largest manufacturer of plastic molded furniture in North India and amongst the top five brands in the country. The product portfolio of the company includes household and office wear, molded chairs, tables, stools, almirahs, and so on and so forth. The products of the company are mainly known for its quality and durability, along with the long-term warranty services. In fact, we are the only company to be offering 3 years guarantee on couple of our plastic chair products and all the things or table, which none of other company in the country have been able to offer. That's the hallmark of our quality. And our furniture is sold in two established brands, Avro and Avon. As the third quarter is festive season, we normally see a good demand in the third quarter and fourth quarter. The strong demand helped us to grow and report 11% growth in the total income this third quarter in comparison to the corresponding period of previous FY, and contributing to the 37% growth in total income for 9 months in comparison to the corresponding 9 months of previous financial year. While the company has seen a rise in total income, our initiative of recycling plastic unit enabled us to control costs and report an operating margin of 10% plus. We have commenced our new recycling plant with a capacity of 3 metric tons per month at Ghaziabad, with effect from 22nd December 2022. We have started using recycling plastic granules as our major raw material requirement. On full utilization of recycling unit, the benefits will be seen in terms of savings in cost. Recycled plastics are 20 to 30% cheaper per kilo, contributing to significant cost saving and improvements in profits, which of course progressively we will witness as we go by with the expansion of our capacity. The demand for plastic material has been constantly increasing across several industries like food and beverage, automotive, packaging, and healthcare. The development of these industries can be accredited to rising population, increasing disposable income, and continuous product innovation. The problem with plastic lies not in how it is used, which is generally harmless, but in end-of-life management of products made from it. India produces approximately 6 billion tons metric tons of plastic waste every year, and this is expected to rise to 34 million tons by 2031. And this particular plastic goes into the roads, rivers, strokes, drains, etc., and animals are killed. Therefore, it is highly important to reduce this waste for a sustainable environment and less use of plastic, and plastic recycling are the solution to this issue. Products manufactured from plastics are usually non-biodegradable in nature and can lead to various environmental concerns. In fact, it could be lasting for hundreds of years. Thus, recycling plastic helps us to reduce the amount of waste disposed at landfill sites, thereby lowering the amount of greenhouse gas emissions released from landfills or manufacturing of fresh material. Further, high manufacturing costs of virgin resins have necessitated the use of recycled plastic products, thereby bolstering the growth of the global recycled plastic market. And in fact, if you had seen and noticed that due to disruption in the supply chain management for quite some time, the price volatility in the commodity has been reducibly high and huge, and it comes without any alarms. So this is a challenge that, you know, most of the manufacturers are facing. And in fact, government's measures are expected to further facilitate the growth of recycled plastic market. Government is implementing policies and regulations for controlling waste production, encouraging the reuse and recycling of plastic waste, and encouraging systematic waste treatment. Government is also enforcing landfill taxes, waste disposable taxes, recycling credit scheme, deposit refund systems, etc., to promote effective management, waste management. In fact, they are also implementing something called as EPR, which is Extended Producer Responsibility, whereby every brand producer or importer or manufacturer and owner all have to comply with the EPR regulations. And if they don't comply, then by FY24, 100% is the regulation. And if they don't comply, they will have to pay penalty to the government. So this is the kind of enforcement that is happening in terms of recycled plastic to be used as many number of times as possible, and bottle-to-bottle circular economy needs to be promoted, or product-to-product. And the global recycling plastic recycling reached a volume of 72 million tons in 2021, growing at a CAGR of 4.9% during 2016 to 2021. It is expected that the global plastic recycling market will grow at a CAGR of 7.5% during 2022 to 2027, reaching a volume of 111.5 million tons by 2027. In 2021, Asia Pacific represented the largest plastic recycling market, accounting for 49.1% of the total plastic recycling market, followed by Europe, North America, Middle East and Africa, and Latin America. Indian plastic recycling market reached a volume of 2.4 million tons in 2021, growing at a CAGR of 7% during 2016 to 2021. Studies indicate that the India plastic recycling market is supposed to grow at a CAGR of around 8.6% during 2022 to 2027, reaching a volume of 4 million tons by 2027. Yeah. In 2021, North India plastic recycling market reached a volume of 400,000 tons in 2021, representing a CAGR of 7.3% during 2016 and 2021. Increase in industrialization and urbanization in northern region of India had a great impact on plastic demand, which augments the growth of plastic recycling market. Furthermore, the rise in construction activity in the region is another factor contributing to the growth of market. Increase in residential, industrial and commercial activities leads to more usage of plastic, which further propels the plastic recycling in the region. Looking forward, North India plastic recycling market is expected to reach a volume of 686,000 tons by 2027, representing a CAGR of 8.8% during 2022-2027. Rise in automobile and construction sector across North India are expected to fuel the plastic recycling market growth over the forecast period. Evolving lifestyle and rising disposable income of consumer across the region have fueled the demand for food products and beverages where plastic is crucial, which augments the growth of recycling market in North India. Uttar Pradesh represented the largest plastic recycling market in North India, accounting for 42.1% of total North India plastic recycling market. The increase of lightweight plastic components and awareness of plastic's negative effects on the environment are driving the plastic recycling market. Furthermore, consistent support from the government and increasing penetration of recycled plastic product is presenting lucrative opportunity for the plastic recycling market. Product portfolio expansion and cost minimization are the key drivers for future growth of business and its aspiration to become a market leader in coming times. I'm happy to inform you that your company has been awarded with the Pride of India Award 2023, organized by Exchange for Media Agency at Gurgaon on 19 January 2023. This award will continue to drive us, giving more quality deliverable in future and being a part of Make in India. So let me take you through financial performance, the reported quarter and 9 months of FY23. So the key financials at a glance are, this is third quarter FY23, total income is at 21.82 crores, which is up 10.65%. EBITDA is at 2.29 crore, up 73.48%. EBITDA margin at 10.49% versus 6.69%. PAT at 1.19 crores, up 138%. NPM at 5.45% versus 2.54%. EPS at 1.17 rupees. And 9 months FY23 results are, total income is at 63.69 crores, up by 36.88%. EBITDA at 6.55 crores, up by 148.11%. EBITDA margin at 10.28 versus 5.61%. PAT at 3.28 crores, up by 252.69%. NPM at 5.15% versus 2%. And EPS at 3.25%. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I open the floor for Q&A and all yours. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star in one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Raj from Arjav Partners. Please go ahead.
So I wanted to know how much of the sales come from online, Flipkart and Amazon.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Raj. Sir, your audio sounding very muffled.
Okay, now it's fine?
Sir, I requested to use a handset mode while speaking.
Okay, yeah.
Thank you.
It's good now? Can you hear me?
Better, Mr. Raj. Go ahead, please.
I wanted to know how much of the sales come from Amazon, Flipkart and all those online channels.
Approximately, I don't have the clear data in front of me, but approximately 15% of the revenue comes from the online Flipkart and Amazon, Meesho, Jio and so on and so forth, besides the big box store like Metro and others, which we are also selling at this point of time. But approximately 15% of the revenue.
15% comes from your online sales, right?
Correct.
And how does the pricing goes over there? Like, how much you need to give to Amazon, Flipkart?
So there are different commission parameters. You know, certain companies, like, for example, let's say Pepperfry might charge 40%, but you know, in case of Amazon, they actually hand it over to their DCA where they take care of everything. You know, we don't have to actually do it directly to the consumer. So we are giving them at a price which is far better than our distribution price that they send it to the market. So, and we don't have to worry about whether they are actually giving a predatory pricing, reducing it or increasing it, depending upon the kind of, you know, big bill and day sales and all the things that they do, then they take care of it.
All right, understood. And regarding FY24, so can you give an approximate, like, how would your sales and everything is going to look like?
Mr. Raj, I would put it this way that, you know, last 2-3 years have been, it's been very, very tough for the entire industry for that matter. In spite of that, you know, fortunately, our country has been able to grow sectorally. So we believe for the best is yet to come for us. And as you rightly said, you know, FY24, we expect a stellar growth in terms of top line and bottom line growth because we are likely to pick up volumes. Why we are able to pick up the volumes is because we were only North India focused company at some point of time. But now with expanding our footprint across entire India, we have set up our base in Bangalore, Edison, Karnataka, Tamil Nadu, Kerala, including Maharashtra, Gujarat, Madhya Pradesh, Chhattisgarh, Orissa, West Bengal. These are the kind of markets which we were actually not dealing or not selling earlier. But now we started expanding. So we believe in the next 2 quarters or so, we expect that this distribution will certainly get established. And then progressively, the volume that will get drive into that, we will add to the top line. Besides the recycling, since we are doing in-house ourselves and the entire production is being consumed, self-consumed, we are not actually selling it right now. So what happens is our cost of raw material procurement goes down. So one way we are increasing the top line because of the sale in the increase in the production. Second way we are also reducing the cost of the raw material. So when it becomes an integrated process system, we will be the only company, and I'm saying again, we will be the only company in the entire country to have this value chain from post-consumer plastic scrap to the final product at, you know, let's say even in the Jio Mart, Meesho, or even distribution or retail market for that matter.
All right, understood. And how much cash do you have currently as on Q3 end?
I did not see that, but I believe whatever cash flow that we have at this point, I'm not very sure, but I would put it this way that normally we don't carry too much of cash in the bank. We keep selling it to the suppliers because we need to ensure that the chain continues, and we ensure that our suppliers, for example, our sundry creditors are very low at this point of time because we believe in paying and paying in time and getting the material at the cheapest possible price. So we normally don't keep a lot of surplus cash with us. We deploy it either for procurement of the raw metal, or we deploy it in terms of sundry debtors to expand our footprint or expand our business or top line growth.
All right, understood. And regarding your aggressive expansion plan, so how much of investment are you going to need?
We are actually in a huge expansion plan in terms of the recycling, for that matter, number one. Number two, we are also expanding our product portfolio. So I would put it this way that we are looking at close to about 5 to 10 crore rupees kind of investment that probably FY24 should see in terms of these two areas. We are also looking at probably some amount of expansion that could happen in the sundry debtors as well as branding. So we are taking baby steps. We want to go step by step to ensure that we don't. Sorry, you can't hear me?
Yes. Go ahead.
Can you hear me now? All right. So we want to take a baby step. We do not want to go haphazard in terms of establishing and ensuring that all of our stakeholders get payment in time. So that's our priority. And that's how keeping that in sync and in line. We believe anything between 5 to 10 crore rupees minimum investment, and it can also definitely go up depending upon how fast we want to go ahead. And we are actually looking at probably expanding our footprint across India for furniture as well as adding certain other products which can piggyback on the existing infrastructure.
Understood. Okay. Thank you. Have a good day. Bye.
Thank you, Mr. Raj. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Divesh Srimali from DS Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon.
Hi. Good afternoon, Mr. Divesh. Yeah, good afternoon. Go ahead, please.
Good afternoon. Yeah, so just wanted to get your broad demand outlook. If you look at last three quarters, we are sort of in a range of 20-21 crore revenue, about 1.5 crore PBT. I believe we spoke last quarter, and you did say that when the wedding season kicks in, you do expect some demand to pick up, right? So first, if you could help me understand how the demand outlook, is it to your satisfaction what you're anticipating in last quarter with this quarter, or how is it shaping up?
Thank you. So sweet. I'm sure you actually touched upon something which is bothering me a lot. In fact, Q2, Q3 have been very subdued. We were expecting, because COVID had gone and economy had opened up, people were moving about and they were splurging on money, on a lot of products. But Q2, Q3 has been reasonably subdued. And it has shocked us. It has surprised us because we, in the anticipation of that, we expanded our product portfolio. We added a lot of molds and machines. We thought that, all right, things will brighten up and probably we'll be operating at more than 100% capacity or we'll increase the sales. But actually, it did not happen. In fact, this Q4 right now that we're running into also is very subdued. And it is quite surprising because when you see flights are full, hotels are full, why is it that, people are not picking up, lapping the product? Possibly because it's taking some time. But I believe that FY24 should be a very different year because whatever programs, plans people had kept on hold, though they have a lot of surplus money, we start fructifying and start resulting into certain amount of volume pickup and all the things. So we certainly see that, and also because now we have gone into recycling plastic, and that's how our cost of production will certainly go down. We will become a little more predatory. We'll become predatory in the pricing so that we will be able to offer aggressive price, and then due to that our volume will increase. So we believe that these two factors should certainly contribute. Demand, which is an organic demand, plus our predatory pricing. These things should certainly add up, and then I'm sure all the forecasts that we do are an assumption that economy is forward looking and COVID is things of the past and everything seems to be going good and great, and I'm sure India as a country is the most insulated and the most fastest growing economy in any case. So we believe everything seems to be going right, but somehow certain things are not being able to pick up. Now since we're expanding our footprint, we believe that the result will start fructifying and over time we'll get the benefit of that.
Right. So if I get it right, I mean, you're quite optimistic on FY24, but uh, for reasons that we are not able to put fingers on, demand sort of in very short term still looks subdued, right? That's the right way to look at it?
Absolutely. It is still subdued because that buoyancy, you know, where people say, all right, maal nahi hai, jaldi de. So that doesn't seem to be happening. We are asking people, hey, what happened? Give me your order. Whereas it used to be that we had to switch the phone off because there was so much demand. So there has been certain lull in that. But you believe probably this is happening across sectors within various industries when we speak to other suppliers, buyers, etc. Because I'm also national president of Furniture Manufacturers Association. So I keep speaking to my peers and friends, etc. to ask what are they doing. And I'm also chairman of CII, Western UP. So I keep interacting with other industries also when I speak to them. Invariably, there's a certain amount of tone that says, all right, things are not picking up the rate should I be. Probably economy is not picked up sectorally. You know, it's probably certain things might be doing too good, but certain things are not. Maybe hospitality seems to be great, but it may not be happening here. But we believe over a time, it should all stabilize.
Got it. And if you could also throw similar light in terms of margin, we have seen two quarters of sort of sequentially falling margin. Is it because of lower capacity utilization and that's what is causing, overheads to play higher?
Yeah, both. What happens is, you know, because cost goes up when we expand our footprint across country, you know, branding and so on and so forth. Besides, of course, the commodity prices have been playing havoc. And it is so uncertain, you know, half the time we are in loop. We are so much lost, we don't know when and, you know, how the commodity price will jump overnight. So that is certainly keeping us on the tenterhooks. But nevertheless, I believe that these things, you know, a marginal difference plus and minus here and there. But now we want to get out of this particular cycle. So that's how this particular venture of our recycling in-house with a post-consumer, I want to say this insistence, it is not post-industrial. Post-industrial is again volatile as fresh commodity is, but post-consumer is almost stagnant and flat. So we want to pick up that and then use it for our product. So we will be insulated as far as the raw material, variation is concerned in the raw material cost. So if that being the case, naturally we can play around. And, you know, you'll not see that kind of, let's say, expansion or, you know, expenses, etc. that probably at this point in time you feel like, why is it that, you know, that margins are not going up? They will certainly start looking up once, you know, volume picks up. And naturally, this recycling picks up. Both will go hand in hand in sync. It will start getting noticed.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you for your openness in replying. Thank you and all that.
Thank you, Mr. Divesh. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Miraj from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, Mr. Miraj. Thank you. Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thank you for taking my question. I just had two questions. You spoke about two things in the start. One of them was the government policy regarding systematic waste treatment. I missed on the part. If you could repeat that again, you were explaining something. There was some 100% penalty. If you could explain that again. And the second one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, we can go up one after the other. Yes.
This is very interesting, you know, Mr. Miraj. Let me make it very clear. 2016. You know, Plastic Waste Management Act says, which is, enforced by Government of India, central government, it says that, you know, extended producer responsibility, EPR, this is the word. Now, all the brand owners and producers will have to compulsorily take an EPR approval, you know, validation, which means, let's say if I, for example, ITC consumes 10,000 tons of plastics every year in its packaging and so on and so forth. So now ITC by FY23, 70% of that particular consumption, which is 10,000 tons, will have to be purchased from open market, recycled plastic at the rate of virgin rate. I won't repeat this. It's at the rate of virgin rate so that they mitigate whatever they had done or whatever they have actually used, and 70% is taken back from market and consumed in-house. But since ITC cannot consume that, they have to pay penalty to the Government of India, EPR. You know, it can range from 5 rupees to 20 rupees kilo. And now from FY24, it will be 100%. And in fact, about 3 months back in Uttarakhand, more than 1,700 units were asked to be shut down by High Court of Uttarakhand because these people were not compliant to the EPR regulation. They were all plastic manufacturing. 1,700 units to Uttarakhand alone, which is a small state. So that is the kind of enforcement that is happening. So what will happen is that people like us, and this is again applicable to post-consumer plastic being recovered, recycled, EPR credit taken, and that's how they get, you know, they can actually walk away. But it is not post-industrial. We as a company today are not only brand owners and producers, so we are self-consuming 100% ourselves. So we get insulated from there. Number two, we don't have to pay any penalty for EPR. But we can also give a lot of credit to other people. Let's say if I consume 10,000 tons of my own plastic myself, and if I'm producing 50,000 tons or 40,000 tons, that 30,000 tons, I can sell it to them and or tell them, all right, on your behalf, I'm giving it to some producer and I'll give you EPR credit. So you pay me for it. So I believe that Avro India Limited over a period of time will be a company which will start taking the credit of EPR benefits on the basis of the sales that will be doing on behalf of these brand owners and producers. That's a golden, let's say, lining that we have at this point of time. But it's too early because I think it will take another 1 year or so for us to get into the mainstream and start selling those products. So this is a great revolution that is happening. And it is happening because Government of India realizes and recognizes that unless otherwise they penalize the brand owners and producers both. In fact, today, yesterday onwards, another regulation has come that anything, any import coming to the country, any custom, anywhere, any product, part of India, if at all is wrapped with plastic and all that, they all have to take approval of the Government of India on EPR regulation and have to pay penalty if at all is wrapped with plastic. So that is a kind of level of enforcement that is happening. And I want to tell you one thing, Mr. Miraj, that you know most of the industries today in the country are actually unaware of this regulation except for these large corporates. If MSME don't even know there's something like EPR that is there, and one day when they get a high court order or, you know, a judgmental or legislative judiciary issue, then they will certainly face the brunt of it. But fortunately, for whatever reason, you know, we actually thought that we will reduce the cost of production, we went to post-consumer plastic recycling. But that has added as a benefit that, you know, as an EPR benefit also we'll be able to take not only for ourselves, but to give it to others also. So this is something which we are riding on over a period of time.
Thanks a lot for the detailed answer, sir. It's really helpful. My second question was, in the start, you also spoke about the facility in recycled plastics that you're talking about, if I'm not wrong. You did mention some the capacity in terms of volume also. If you could just speak about that once again, if you could just re-highlight that once.
I'll put it one thing. Whatever I have said, I've gone through the document. Let me not talk about that. And I'll give you my own perspective today, right now. Approximately 6 million tons of plastic, which constitutes PP, HD, and LD. These are the primary materials. It is not ABS, PVC, and so on and so forth. So this particular 66% of the 6 million tons actually gets to rivers, oceans, drains, chokes, animals, etc., or thrown on the roads. This is something which can be recovered. I'm not talking of something from solid waste management that comes from the drains which are being picked up by the municipal corporation at a cost there that's being paid by municipal corporation, and that is segregated. And that particular plastic is actually offloaded to various people for them to, you know, use that into making of bricks and making of roads and other things. That goes for free. I'm not talking of that. But I'm talking of post-consumer. Let's say you have milk pouches in your house, you have a sari cover, shirt cover, etc. You just discard and dispose it into dustbin. And somebody comes and picks it up, and then that's taken to the municipal corporation place where it is segregated, dry waste, where plastic waste, so on and so forth, or, you know, steel or crockery and so on and so forth. When they segregate that, that is something that we get it picked up through our supply chain management system where we have deployed people. We have already tied up with some people. We are also trying to use over a period of time, use kind of technology where we'll certainly use blockchain technology over a period of time to create a traceability so that once it comes to EPR benefit, Government of India is going to certainly challenge and tell us that, all right, give us a trace. From where did it come and where did it end? So that naturally we'd like to be as safe as possible as far as the compliances are concerned. And if that being the case, this 6 million tons, which is available to us, and of which 66% is PPHGLD, is something that we can consume, all these three products. And if we can consume, that particular item is available in the market at a dirt cheap price. It's only the collection cost. And, you know, there are very few takers or very few people who can actually process this in terms of the scientific processing of washing, grinding, and creating, converting that into granules and usable product to manufacture so that, you know, consumers can take it. It's not for food products. It will be for non-food products, like for furniture or for, let's say, making of gamlas and, you know, pots and such kind of product. There are a lot of those things, which can be made. So this will be something which will be used. So this is something which is right now available, and this is likely to grow because there is a consumption pattern which is increasing over a period of time. So I was mentioning that this will increase dramatically over a period of time because per capita consumption of plastic is going to rise. So naturally, this disposable post-consumer plastic will be available and accessible. And at this point of time in the country, very few companies are doing synthetic manufacturing of plastic, post-consumer plastic, which we are one amongst them.
Understood, understood. Thanks a lot for that detailed information, sir. And so this capacity of recycled plastics that you spoke about with us, how much would that be?
Right now, I said 300 metric ton is what we are producing at this point of time. Though we have a production ability which is far beyond this, but I do not want to mention on record here, because once we start actually manufacturing it, then I will certainly be able to say, all right, we are doing this. But over a period of time, by FY24 ending or so, we would certainly increase this by many number of times. We will not stay at this 300. This is just a pilot. Over a period of time, once we start doing, satiating our own consumption self, demand, then we will also be able to offload a lot of material to the other people because it's a commodity and sells on cash. We will be able to do that.
Understood. Thanks a lot for answering my question, sir. If I have any, I'll get back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Viraj. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is on the line of Himani Oban from Suraj Research. Please go ahead.
Hi, Himani.
Hello. Good afternoon, sir.
Very good afternoon, Himani. How are you?
Sir, my question is any new product introduced in furniture portfolio?
Sorry, no.
Hello?
What's your question, Himani? Can you please repeat that?
Is any new product introduced in your furniture portfolio?
Yeah. Himani, I want to tell you this. We are a company which is refreshing products, every day. I would say that in the last 6 months, we've added almost 6 products. And the next 6 months, we'll be adding almost about 10 to 12 new products. So what we do is we keep churning. Anything obsolete out of the design, out of context, we remove those products and we keep on adding. So right now when I'm talking, I'm in Mumbai today and I'm in conversation with my mold manufacturer who supplies metal machine mold from China, from the world's largest manufacturer. So we have ordered almost about 10 odd molds, fresh new brand new molds, which are going to be the flavor of the season over a period of time. Because unless otherwise we are in sync with the expectation and aspiration of the consumer, we'll become obsolete. And we do not want. We'll continue to do that.
Okay, sir, my one more question is, what would you classify as your competitive strength?
Competitive strength?
Yeah.
See, let me put it this way, that for example, Neil Kamal, Supreme, Cello, these are 3 generic brands and they are very large. Supreme is about 9,000 crore rupees coming with furniture adding whatever, 3,500 crore rupees or so. Neil Kamal about 2,000 and odd crore is coming with the furniture be about 650 to 700 crore. And Cello is about 250 crores, 400 crore in terms of top line with about 150 to 200 crores in furniture. These companies have been offering a world-class quality product system into the market and they're the ones who created the market. We're only followers. But over a period of time, because for these companies, they are conglomerate. They have lots of divisions and products, so their focus is not there. Whereas this industry is growing 15% CAGR year on year. And that being the case, expansion is taking place. And because this product is so versatile, Himani, in case if you were to use a plastic furniture and keep it outdoor for ages, for years, 10, 20 years also, over a period of time, a color might fade. It might become a little rough, but it will not break. It is all weatherproof conditions. 250 degree temperature that it can go up to in terms of melting or minus 20, 30, 40 also no problem at all. That's why, because it is affordable, it is usable, and all weather conditioned product. I believe over a period of time, furniture industry will certainly keep continuing to grow. And these companies have actually established the product category. So hats off to them. And I want to thank them openly now. Now what we are doing is, because the product concept has been established, we are aggressively pushing and pursuing this particular industry in terms of the expansion of reach. And just because of that, we believe that we should be able to capitalize on, let's say, the demand created by these people or the product showcased by these people, but we are able to sell our product almost at 40% cheaper than these companies. We have already been doing it. In fact, if you were to go on, let's say, Amazon and check for Avro 9955 chair price, check my price, and then you can also check others, or you can check Nilkamal or Supreme or anybody, and you will find that there is a substantial difference in the pricing of the consumer also. And in terms of distribution also, we are 40% cheaper. So that's how and why we get acceptability across all the states in the country, right from Bangalore to Guwahati to Srinagar to Bhuj. That is the beauty. So I believe that these competitors have actually given us a lot of edge. They have also given us the advantage of giving their product in the market because they popularize it, but we encash it. So that I want to thank them. And now there are, of course, small-time takers. You know, there are regional players which have sprung up. But, you know, the only problem with them is that they have very, very small product portfolio. Let's say they may have 2, 3, 5, 10 designs. But we are having more than 140 SKUs. And we are adding almost 20-odd SKUs more. If that's been the case, the kind of bouquet of range of products that we are able to offer, not many companies can offer except for these large companies. And I think if that's how, you know, we've been able to not only lay a footprint across country, that's how we claim to be talking that, you know, we are amongst the top manufacturers in the country. So this has been another advantage that we have got.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. All the best.
Thank you, Amani.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star in one. The next question is from the line of Sandeep Mann from SM Research. Please go ahead.
Hi, Sandeep.
Hi, good afternoon, sir.
Very good afternoon. Yes, Sandeep.
Sir, I have a 2-3 question.
Yeah.
My first question is, you were talking about having the warehouse in South India.
Mm-hmm.
Can you please provide a provide update on it?
Okay. Sandeep, you know, this warehouse that we have, we do not officially have our own warehouse, but in Metro AG store, we have GST number, and that warehouse is used exclusively for us. Okay. So that's how, right, not only in Bangalore, but in various other places also, we have GST numbers at those places, but we have not owned any warehouse ourselves because we do not want to adapt to the cost. Okay. Over a period of time, once our product portfolio keeps increasing and our footprint across India is getting established, probably we might have a warehouse in maybe Bangalore or maybe Ahmedabad, maybe in Punjab or so on and so forth. They're not very short, but we'll certainly like to. What we're trying to do is, in terms of supply chain management, our delivery rate is very fast. You know, we offer delivery within less than 24 hours, number one, and they're all given in full truck load. We don't sell in part load, except on the Flipkart, Amazon, etc. And then now what we're doing is, we are also getting the small part-time load through DP World or Home Logistics, etc., where any consumer, or not the consumer, sorry, any wholesaler, dealer across India, let's say it could be from Virar to Mulund to any place, or you know, anybody coming from Kerala, any LFL or any part of the country, can actually ask for small consignment of 10, 20, 30, 50,000 pieces also, which we had not been doing for 20 years, but now we are starting with that. That is one green shoot that I see in our company that will happen over Peta, which I have not said anything about that particular area of activity, whereby we are likely to see a witness a growth in the sales, just because we will also be able to reach out to those dealers who are buying a small quantity, and through the logistics firm, 5 to 7 days that, you know, transit time will take. And in terms of the freight cost also, we are bearing the cost ourselves because, you know, we are able to give them at a certain reasonable price. So we believe over pay time, we don't have to have warehouse. Things are, you know, gone are the days where people used to have, except for FMCG, where they need to have because of faster delivery. But in our case, we can actually maintain directly from the company itself. And if at all necessary, we'll certainly have it.
Yes. So now, second question is, what is your marketing spend?
Marketing spend. We currently have about 12, boys working for us in various states. Right from West Bengal, we have in Madhya Pradesh, we have in Gujarat, we have in Rajasthan, we have in Northern India, and so on and so forth. And we also have in Karnataka, we have in Tamil Nadu, all these marketing people deployed, about 12 people. These are primary people. And then all these distributors, salesmen, etc., we have trained them so well. They practically are on our roles in a way. And we ensure that, you know, we give them some kind of incentives benefit over a period of time. So so that they keep marketing, selling our product. We also train them on the product. We call them to the factory and tell them how, you know, what is the product quality, strength, etc., so that they are able to market and sell better. So we try to do everything of this kind. And over a period of time, since we have been only with the distribution model where, you know, let's say, for example, in Maharashtra, we may have 12, 15 people over a period of time. So to service 12, 15 people, we don't need 12 people. We need only one person, senior person, who can go talk to them and then accommodate and then take care of the market and all that thing. We are only to retail selling. But over a period of time, since we are penetrating across India, we might probably over a period of time, you know, take another step where we might deploy people who will actually do a small amount of secondary sale also to go to these wholesale retailers that I just mentioned.
Yes, sir. Sir, my next last question is about recycling.
Yeah.
Sir, is everything are you consume internally or sold outside, recycling plastic?
Right.
If you sold outside, who are your buyer of recycling plastic?
Right. Perfect. You know, Sandeep, incidentally, first and foremost, at this point of time, our production capacity of recycling plastic has been very, very low because we just started some time back. So we believe almost about 7,500 to 8,000 tons we can self-consume ourselves. That's our consumption at this point of time. And progressively, since we will expand our footprint and our top line will grow, we believe that this will go to 10,000 to 12,000 tons. So that means to that extent, even if I go 1,000 tons a month, to that extent, my product gets self-consumed in my factory. I don't have to sell, number one. Number two, even otherwise, I was just mentioning some time back that I'm a national president of Furniture Manufacturer Association across country. And 100 and odd manufacturers that I know them, they're on my WhatsApp group. I interact and discuss them because I'm in a little pioneer side. I've been in the industry for almost 2 decades, which is like the post-Nilkamal Supreme Seller in the country. I was the earliest one who established this factory. So I am in close conversation and contact with these gentlemen, these people. They all know me very well. And I also know them very well. 1 million ton of plastic gets consumed into these 100 odd manufacturers across country. So today I'm talking of just 300 tons per month, which is too small. Even if I take it to 1,000 tons, it will get self-consumed. If I raise this to 1,000 to 4,000, 5,000 tons, selling additional 2, 3,000 or 4,000 tons is like an easy cakewalk. It's like selling gold. You talk to them today, all at market prices, like the 70 rupees. You tell them, okay, I offer it for 5, 7, 10 rupees less, and they will certainly be able to buy it because that's the cheapest that they will be able to get. So selling is not a problem at all. And once we get into that game, you know, or probably the infrastructure that we are actually now trying to set up over a period of time, depending upon the financials of the internal equivalent as well as the debt that we'd like to access, or, you know, a certain amount of equity route that we can adopt. So we believe that we should be able to not only take care of this advantage that, you know, it's been a kind of gift, a God's gift to us for that matter, that we got into this industry, which we had never ever envisaged and thought. So over a period of time, once we start selling to these people also, as I said, you know, there are many takers, no issue at all. We'll be able to certainly comfortably do that.
Yes. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you. Thank you, Sandeep.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to Ms. Supriya Madhye for her closing comments. Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. I just want to start, you know, conclude and say thank you, Mr. Raj, Devesh, Miraj, Imani, Sandeep, and all other participants who will listen to me. You know, it's for me, these are emotional moments when I talk to you people because I believe that I'm talking to those who are thought leaders, who are the economic drivers, who are the people who will become brand ambassador and supporter to Average Day Limited. At this point of time, we are a small company, but we have gained immense experience in the industry and we are the cusp of that explosive growth which countries like you to witness, and over a period of time, I believe, by 2030, world's third largest economy, and 2050, we're going to be second largest economy in the world. With a huge population that we have, I think we're the right product commodity because this is a sunrise industry. It will continue to grow. And to grow on the basis of strength, the aspiration of the consumer, as well as the delivery mechanism that we have, and the experience and learning that we've gone through. So we will certainly need a lot of support from all of you in terms of enhancing our value or letting us know all the issues and challenges. In fact, I'll be more than happy to share my mobile number with all of you, and you are free to communicate, talk to me, ask me questions, come out to the factory, have a visit, look at the infrastructure, and understand how we are progressing. And over a period of time, you are please feel free to advise us or guide us. What is it that is desired? How is the consumer feeling? What is your perception about the company and all the things? And in case if you have valuable suggestion to offer to us, we'll more than happy to implement it. We would like to thank you from the bottom of our heart. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Sushilji. And I thank you each and everyone participating in the call on behalf of Kiran Advisors. We conclude this call. Thank you. Thank you so
much. Thank you very much.
Good day.
Have a nice day. Have a nice day. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, members of the management team. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Kiran Advisors Private Limited, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.